What's going on, everybody? This be your boy DJ Anonymous with Sports Biz Music, the podcast, episode 85. And I got two special guests on the show today. I got my boy Justin A. Hill and the alumni of the show, Fat Swaggy Bastard. How you doing, bro?
How you doing, man?
I'm sorry. That's what's up, man. So before we get into like, everything, all the questions and stuff like that, like, introduce yourself to the people. Everybody already know you, but you can reintroduce yourself.
Justin, go first. You already.
All right, my name is Justin Hill. I'm born and raised in South Florida, 26 years old. And I went to school down here, high school, college, everything.
Mm-hmm.
We actually founded the Coming Threat Movement on Facebook.
Okay.
Like, it was just a Facebook post. And it just, started to pick up from there. I tried to speak a lot on mental health.
Mm-hmm.
Across South Florida with NAMI, with doing my own, advocacy with that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's really about it. Just trying to get my voice out there, get our own voice out there.
Right. So tell us about the beginnings. What made you want to become, activist, advocate.
Probably for mental health, it's my own dealings with it.
Mm-hmm.
I've dealt with it probably. Probably when I got out of high school, I noticed that something was different mentally,
Mm-hmm.
And I never really took into account what's anxiety, what's depression or whatnot. And, I just started to do my own research as I got more, aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then just wanted to take that step to have my voice heard as well as others, to be honest
mm-hmm.
with you.
That's what's up, because, especially now, in 2019, a lot of people are starting to be more open about,
exactly.
Mental health.
Especially blacks in our community as well.
Right, because, me and my wife, we always talk about it, I had a battle through depression, middle school, high school, trying to be this perfect student and
but
stuff.
But you never knew what you were doing, basically.
Right, yeah. So when I was in, I think it was college, and I took a psychology class, I'm like, damn.
I'm really messed up.
Yeah, I was fucked up.
Yeah,
like.
Exactly.
That's real.
And I think it's that step was when we realized that, we're messed up.
Mm-hmm.
Once you reach that step, it's I'm messed up, I need help, something is different about me. That's when I think we all take that initiative to make change. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, you buddy.
I was going to say, I just think in general, when you talk about people who grew up in a certain lifestyle in the city,
mm-hmm.
when you think about it, that's its own form of post-traumatic stress. Like,
mm-hmm.
the things that we see that we shouldn't be seeing,
mm-hmm.
the things that we experience that we shouldn't be experiencing at a young age. I don't know if y'all remember in a movie where it was you want to see a dead body. Children are asking that question.
Yeah, boys in the hood,
those are kids asking that question.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be a kid asking you that question. And obviously, that moment, we didn't think nothing of it. We just thought it was a dope moment. But
right.
in reality, that says how really hard mentally mm-hmm. to grow up and think that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
To think that as a 10-year-old, 11-year-old boy, we should be interested in going to see a dead body, which is really just a person
mm-hmm.
who was just killed in the streets.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I think that's something we kind of suffer with on a day-to-day, just being in the
mm-hmm.
neighborhoods that we grow up in,
We
don't think about it.
But do y'all think, social media make it kind of worse? In general, we have all these videos and stuff.
I think social media piggybacks on it. The reason why I say that, because I believe us as black males here,
right.
we're born into
mm-hmm.
depression. We're born into mental illness. And the reason why I say that is because all the stuff that we're born into, there's some that have the nuclear household family of the mother and the father,
mm-hmm.
and then there's some that don't. There's some who moms have to work 9 to 5, get off
mm-hmm.
work a nighttime job. There's no dad in the crib, so who is really raising that kid?
Right.
The streets, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have that aspect. And then you have school. School doesn't have the necessary resources for us to prosper in education, prosper outside of the classroom and everything. That's more stress.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the basic element of post-traumatic stress
mm-hmm.
from slavery, bro.
Right.
I personally believe that that is brought down for us.
Right.
You know what I mean? So you have all that. And then, as black males, we have to go out and say, all right, bro, stay safe. We know what's necessary.
That was always programming our brains.
That's programming our brain to say, all right, bro, stay safe. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And we know what that means. We, you know, we drive in our cars, they're like, damn, a cop, now what? You know what I'm saying? And we, and us as black males, you know, all three of us stand big in stature. So we have to legit be on our P's and T's all the time. And that's more stress on us.
Absolutely. Right. It's just a danger. It's just a danger that we constantly live in, even when we don't want to live in it. Mm-hmm. Even when we're having a good moment, we kind of always have in the back of our minds to look over our shoulders, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I remember when I first turned 21, I didn't get it, but years later I got it. Mm-hmm. When my boy, my older brother's friend was like, bro, I ain't got no money for you, I ain't got no gifts, but mm-hmm. I'm going to say, you're at a point that not that many people make it to. That's all he said. I didn't get it at the time. Mm-hmm. Then I turned 25. And I started noticing the numbers dwindling of people who don't make it to that age. Mm-hmm. And that's when I started to understand what he really meant. Like, mm-hmm. to get to a certain age is a milestone, which is kind of... Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course, it is a milestone in itself, but it's also like, why is that such a milestone? Just to get to 21.
Yeah, just like, why can't we just like live our life like peacefully? Like, right. I'll think about crazy shit, but, right. you know, you think about, you know, you talked about slavery, you know, like now... You have so many people being so open about it, like they, in terms of like, you know, they like, I don't know if I'm supposed to be here. Like, we don't have no culture. Like, there's some people that's like that. Like, we ain't got no heritage because we was brought from West Africa, and then we all spread out through the Caribbean and stuff, and then we all came over here, you know, in America and stuff like that. And it always started like a healthy debate that we should always have. You know, like for me. You know, my family came from my dad's side. You know, they came from Georgia and stuff like that. So they was close to slavery.
Yeah. My parents, you know. Yeah.
So and then
close to slavery than those who were, you know,
right.
Yeah.
And then
Jamaican
my
Haitian, something like that.
Yeah. Then like my same thing with my mom. Like, you know, on her side, like my grandma's from the Bahamas. Like her family's from the Bahamas. So it's like
close to their heritage.
Yeah. So it's just like. When I was asking my mom, like, because I was in the 10th grade and I was taking a history class, mm-hmm. and one of the things that I didn't know at the time until I, you know, was in the 10th grade was that, you know, the British colony was over the island at one point. Mm-hmm. So I asked my mom, like, do we get?
And I think they still don't, right?
No, they just broke out of it like in the 70s. So it's still recent. You know what I'm saying? Like Haiti, like. Was like the first one to get free from that shit. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, but I was asking my mom, like, do we have like ancestors that's like from England and stuff? She was like, yeah, you know, some, you know, was good, some was bad because, you know, the whole slavery shit was going on. It was a war over the island and shit. Mm-hmm. So it's just that you have like, you know, the American black, you know, the black folks that got like fully American. Sometimes they think about like, damn, like, I don't have really nowhere else to go. Even if I go back to Africa, you know, they not gonna respect us. And it's true, cause like I met certain Africans, and like I kind of feel where they coming from, cause like some of them look at us like, now y'all Americanized.
Shit,
you know what I'm saying?
Y'all Westernized.
Okay.
Yeah.
So my thing is, as a Haitian, right, I've heard that sentiment before.
Right. That's
definitely like, oh, you know, you're not African American or Haitian.
Yeah.
My thing is that cops ain't asking that question when they busting.
Right.
You know what I mean? So you can say that all you want to, but mm-hmm. when the push comes to shove, your support system are the people who share that same, mm-hmm. you know, that same struggle with you. Mm-hmm. And if you're gonna push them aside, then you're gonna have to fight that fight alone. And
right.
that's not real. Like my mom used to tell me that, and there's no fault of her own. I think she was raised that mm-hmm. same way. You know, you're not African American, you're Haitian, but it's like, look, mom, we all look the same.
We're still black.
Like, the danger is still danger.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So we can't be ignorant just because we come from a different type of black, I guess you could say.
Right.
You know what I mean? We all kind of have to carry that burden living here in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And so why not carry that burden together? Why not support each other? Why not push together so we can break that narrative?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, like...
The reason why it is, man, and me and you talk about this all the time, it's the most successful tactic ever. Divide and conquer.
Mm, right.
And divide and conquer has been successful since before the establishment of America, before the establishment of all these government stuff like that. But it's been successfully maneuvered into us because we have, I believe, because we have so many different ancestries of black. There's Haitian, there's Bahamian, you have those in Africa, you have black Brazilians. So we have that divide and conquer mentality with like instilled in us. You know, you have the Willie Lynch theory that talks about light skin, dark skin.
Right.
The weaker male, the stronger male, the house slave and the field slave. All that is just divide and conquer. Now, can you just imagine if all of us came together as a collective?
It would be unstoppable.
There will be no other race but us. We're so strong, bro. Like, we are a strong race. I mean, you got the first island, a small island, bro, took over a whole freaking slave masters in America. In Haiti, and then got out of the flavor. But then again, on the contrary of that, they've been raped by friends.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, and they just paid off their debts 300 years later.
That's crazy.
So like the that divide and conquer mentality is something that legit has to change with us. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because I grew up, you know, we all grew up in, you know, South Florida and Miami in particular, melting pot. But it's like,
still one of the most segregated cities.
People understand, like, one of my best friends, he went up to the African American Museum in D.C. And like, the one thing I never get, what people always say about like Miami, South Florida, they was like, oh, we like New York of the South and this and that. I'm like, it's still the South. Like, my granddad and my grandma's always tell me, like, you know, because my granddad's from Overton and my grandma's from like the Poke Beans. My granddad, he always tell me, he was like, hey, if you was from Overton, you was from Overton. If you was from like the Poker Beans or any other area, especially if you like a white person from like North Miami, used to have a lot of white people back in the day. And he used to say, like, it was certain places you couldn't even go to, certain like towns and like cities.
Old girl told me the same thing.
Yeah, so it's just like, when you look at like how Florida was back in the day, like it still is, but it's more.
You see it now, man.
You see it, but it's kind of more friendlier in terms of like people are more mingling. Like our generation, I feel like they call us the millennials. Like we the one who kind of broke that barrier of like, all right, I could be cool with this Cuban, I could be cool with this Haitian, even though I'm Bahamian, I could be cool with this white folk, you know, cracker, you know, like how we like to say it down here. But it's just like people don't realize that the true history that we have down here. Like they don't know that down in Miami and up in Pompano that we got like walls, and them walls was like to keep the black folks away and hidden from like everyone else when everybody come down.
The same thing with Beans. They have a wall that separate, I think, the Beans from Atapattu.
Yeah.
Because I know Anderson had a lot of white folk there too.
Yeah, back in the day.
They had a lot of white folk. And I think that wall was to divide the Beans in that area. I'm not too sure, but I know it was something like that. And there's another wall, like you said, in Broward. I think that's on County Line.
Yeah.
That wall is from County Line on 203rd, and that separates the gardens from there.
Yeah, I know about that wall. Yeah. But I know it's one Pompano that I ain't even peep until, like, I like, damn, that is the one. Like, it's another one. Like, it's so many, like, walls.
So wild, like, and then the wild thing about it is this stuff is not that long ago.
Right. No, it was just like yesterday. It was like in the 70s, 80s,
60s. Yeah, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I always ask the older folks, you know, besides like my grandparents, of course. And that was like, Miami was pretty much like, you know, South Florida in general was like the Alabama. Like, you know, you have different people all segregated in different sections, like Hialeah, Miami Lakes. Right. It was a whole bunch of white people over there, like all them. You see, like, they still have farms and stuff over there, like. It was crackers over there. Yeah. You know, we was all stuck, you know, in the inner city of Miami. That's why I always tell people, when you come down here to South Florida, that's when you hear the, like, when you go in the inner city, that's like the real Miami, like the outskirts of
beaches in Miami,
bro. And that's another thing that's getting me aggravated. Like, when I was 18, I want to piggyback what you said earlier about when you had to realize when you was 21.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I had to realize when I was 18, actually, two occasions. One was when I was down south in South Dade.
Mm-hmm.
And this cop, he stopped me. You know, I had only had my Impala, it had tents at the time. He stopped me. He was like, "Oh, I thought you was somebody else." I'm like, "Oh shit!" Like, damn. I'm 18 years old. I just got this car not too long ago, you know, for my high school graduation. And then the second time was when I went over to Miami Beach, and I went to what's the name of that sneaker store? In my skate shop. I was trying to get some SBs,
yeah.
And then I had parked, but I didn't realize I parked in front of like an old, like, you know, one of them
hotels.
You know what they had sent the old people at,
the old folks home.
Yeah, you gonna call it the old folks home, but it's another way.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
I figured
you're talking about it. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So like, I had went over there. I was like, let me go park there real quick. Let me go over there real quick. Right. Get these shoes and dip. So when I went over there, the dude was trying to tow. He was like, I went up to him like, bro, like, I ain't. This is my first time coming over the bridge. And he was like, "Oh, you from, like, where you from?" I'm like, "I'm from like the North Miami Opa-locka area." He was like, "Oh, he was like, okay, you don't understand, like, over here, these people over here they not very friendly. Like, you got these older, like, white folks down here, so if they see like a Impala with tents and rims, they gonna think it's a threat." So I'm like, "Damn, bro!" Like, so I had to hurry up. I had to refund my shoe back, cause he was like, just give me something, cause I think the cost was like $200, and he was like, bro, just give me whatever you could give me. I gave it to him. He took me off the boot or whatever, and I was like, ever since then, like, I just don't like going over there. It's crazy though.
Man, that's crazy that we have that reality though.
Mm-hmm. But then I had met people from like the beach, and they was like, South Beach is where it's more like that Hollywood shit, like North Beach and all them other places. It's hood, you know what I'm saying? So it's just like,
do you know the history about this Overtown?
I know a little bit of it because I went to St. Agnes, the church down there.
Yeah,
I know a little bit of it. That's probably like one of the oldest like cities in terms of like you know, have the black community and stuff. Yeah. But break it down.
A little bit about Overtown. So they used to call it the Harlem of the South, right?
Yeah.
That was obviously where most of the black people lived.
Yeah, like Bill Cosby came down.
Yeah. So whenever black performers, musicians would come down to play, they would play on Miami Beach on the white on the white hotels and white clubs. But they weren't allowed to stay in those white hotels and clubs.
Mm-hmm.
So they would migrate from there because they got kicked out, essentially, and go straight to Overtown.
Right.
So pretty much they would take that party and that vibe, that energy, and take it all the way straight into Overtown. And things like that allowed, it allowed Overtown to prosper.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, I-95 needs to be built.
Yeah. Right.
They decide I-95 needs to be built through the heart of Overtown and destroy half of the population and the business. So at first, you know, people are like, "Nah, we're not moving." And they say, "We hit you with that that eminent domain. Now you gotta move. Now the government telling you you can't say no no more." You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's amazing how we start to build, and as we start to build, if they notice it's a little too much fun. It's almost
too much. Yeah.
It's like Dave Chappelle has a special about it. Where it's like don't let the white man see you having too much fun. They will come in there and stop that shit in a heartbeat. You know what I'm saying? And that's what it feels like sometimes. But I think with me and Justin, like we're ready to take on that challenge. They're gonna have to keep fighting us off.
Right.
Like we're ready to celebrate everyone. We're ready to celebrate everyone who's marginalized and push those people forward to the forefront. Mm-hmm. We refuse to let them put us back here and forced to stay up in this box. Fuck that. We out here. What you gonna do about it?
Right.
You keep trying to knock us down, we'll keep coming at you.
Right.
We in your chest.
Exactly.
Right, and that's why I wanted to start to come on the show, because even I had that mentality, like, you know, growing up, you know, it's a melting pot.
Right.
But, you know, you was with your black homeboys and stuff. Like, I went to private school, so every, like, the black people with the black people, the Spanish people with the Spanish people, the rich folks with the rich folks, the middle class, you know, when you see some of the Hispanics and the black folks come together, like, that's, you know what I'm saying? So, with me, I hung out with everybody. I was with the nerds, the geeks, the rich folks, everybody. And to this day, I'm cool with everybody. And they was like, I respect that because you did not segregate yourself from everybody else. You know, because it's books that read about it. Like, whoever you meet in high school, those are gonna be the people that's gonna help you, you know, in your career and stuff like that.
Right.
But like, just explain more about, like, the whole brand about, like, becoming Threat and how it became. Because you said it started on Facebook, right?
Yeah. So 2017, and I put a Facebook post January 1st. I was talking about, and then the last line was, I want to become a threat.
Mm-hmm.
So, man, I like that. So the next day, I just post become a threat.
Mm-hmm.
The next day, I just post become a threat. Become a threat. Become a threat. Become a threat.
Mm-hmm.
And then he called me. Kenzie called me, like, hey, what's become a threat? Then I was like, man, I don't know. So he just posted it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Become a threat. His people started to post it. And the reason why, and I say his people, because we have a different audience.
Right.
His was more of the creative side.
Yeah.
And I like that, you know, like artists, DJs, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So you have his section posting Become a Threat. Then my people from work, school, they started doing it. So now mm-hmm. it's like, you know, this whole thing. So I'm like, bro, we could run with this.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, dude, like, we could make shirts, everything like that. So then when we broke down what Become a Threat was, we said, hey, Become a Threat is pursuing your passion.
Mm-hmm.
For oppressed people, marginalized people who feel like they're a threat in their field.
Right.
If you want to become a threat in your art, become the best at that, become a threat with your music, your mm-hmm. education. If you want to be a janitor, be the best janitor you could possibly be.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because, and you understand, a lot of blacks, us, this movement started from us, black guys, black women, it started mm-hmm. from us. We saw, yo, every time we're looked at in the media, we're always seen as threats.
Yeah, negative. Like,
it's
negative.
Always negative. Yeah. Negative. He was shot because he was a threat to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt endangered. It was a threat.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to change that narrative of the word threat and change that to a positive. We're trying to say, you know, become a threat, you know, with your music,
mm-hmm.
this, with that. Become a threat. Be yeah. feared for that.
Mm-hmm. And I think you forgot a very important part. I forgot who it was who had just recently got shot when we ended up having a conversation over the phone. And it was a man who got shot, and his son was on TV crying like the next day.
That's when it kind of started.
Right? Yeah, right.
We had a conversation over the phone. I think I made a suggestion, but it wasn't like an actual thing. Like, it was just kind of like we're talking, and I remember saying, like, why not become a threat? If we're being perceived like this, why not become a threat?
Right.
And I remember you saying, I kind of like that.
Yeah.
And then I remember you started to post that more and more.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it started to kind of take the life of its own, as he mentioned before. Like, everyone started kind of running with it. He was like, yo, we need to do something. I'm like, well, you're the one who pushed this, so you should be the one to, you know, carry that. He's like, no, man, no, you're part of this. We were having a conversation when I was born, because, you know, mm-hmm. I like to kind of stay in the shadows.
Yeah.
But I think the more we pushed it, the more things got real, the more that people were, I guess they wanted something to believe in, you know what
right.
I'm saying? I think that's what ended up happening. When people are willing to stand up,
mm-hmm.
everyone else is willing to get behind those two people who are standing up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm that's saying? Right. I think that's what ended up happening with us.
Yeah,
and the more I seen it, the more I realized I can't be a background person no more. I can't mm-hmm. just stay in the shadows. And I think we had that conversation
yeah.
when we did our interview. Like, I kind of liked
it. Yeah, because you kept changing your name and stuff. Like, I knew you from Kent. Like, and then he's like, Fat Swaggy Bash. I'm like,
that's something completely different. That's all music, man.
I know, bro, but I'm like, it's crazy that you said it, because I'm like, you can't be behind the scenes because you're an artist, you feel me? So,
yeah.
like, you have a word, you know, like,
yeah.
even through your music, you know, you talked about it. I remember you talked someone about it in our interview.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, it makes sense. Like, when you reached out to me, you was like, oh, follow the page and stuff.
Right.
At first, I had to digest and had to do some research. And I'm like, okay, so I can see what y'all doing and stuff. Like, what y'all, you know, the message behind it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, low key, I've been thinking about this for a long time. Like, it's like this. Like, I'm doing a podcast, right? I know a lot of other podcasters, and I'm like, why not? Why we need to go to New York or LA and we could just build our own media down here?
That's what me and him was talking. Yeah.
Like a media platform, because so many artists, so many, not even just like in music, but like actual artists, you know, creatives. We got entrepreneurs down here, people like models, fashion designers. Like we could do so much.
The thing about it is, I don't think we take advantage of mine because people are trying to move down here to start a career.
People,
we have everything right here, bro. Yeah. And we're from, and we know where to go. We know the clubs. We know the spots. We know who to talk to, blah, 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 blah. Like there's folks trying to move here, and we live here, bro.
And you know what? You know what's the heartbroken thing about it? And I'm glad you brought that up. Y'all brought that up. I had an interview. I forgot what fool name, but he was from he's from here, but he moved to Atlanta. And you know Atlanta, you know that's the heart of, you know, of us, like, you know, African American movement and stuff. And I'm like, honestly, I could probably be like the 1%, but I'm like, us as black folks, we could have our own down here. You know, ain't no excuse. Like, people think in their mind, they like, all right, they think I'm African Americans. I'm like, even with that, we can, but still, you have the Haitians, you have the Bahamians, the Jamaicans, the Virgin Islanders. You have the Hispanics that claim that they know their heritage, where they from, where they come from. Like, there's some people that, you know, deny it. There's some people that be like, all right, I'm a nigga. You know what I'm saying? That's why it's... That's a whole different other story, whatever. But anyway, but I was just like, why can't we build up our communities down here? Cause how you brought up Overtown, like Overtown back in the day was like the biggest like place to go, especially for us. It wasn't the beach. The beach wasn't, you know, our place to go to. And even back in the day, the beach wasn't even all that. You know, it took the Jews to come down here to make the beach more, you know, appealing and stuff like that. And it's just like, why not bring that back? Why not bring back? Let's look at the communities that we have down here, like the Overtowns, the Porky Beans, the Ghouls, the Papano Beaches, the Carvin Ranches. I can name a whole bunch of black communities, but the fact that so many people, I'm not saying that they're scared of doing it. I just feel like people kind of brush it off. They're like, all right, I'm gonna move to Atlanta, Houston, DC. I'm gonna move to these places that I already have. That's got more of a black heritage around it. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, Miami is as black or as more black than any city.
I agree.
You know what I'm saying?
It's like, not just African American. Like you said, Haitian, Virginia,
right? It's still we all come from the African heritage from the tree. So I'm like, I don't want to hear that bullshit. Like that.
I think people just don't. Everyone kind of wants to be the head person in charge. I think that's something I've noticed. Like everyone wants to have their own thing and say, "Oh, I did it this way. I did it that way," and they feel like if you just go around where more black people are, I'm automatically gonna get that. But that's not what it is. Like people are. I think the reason why Becoming Good exists is not because we just forced it onto people. Yeah, people took it and said, you guys need to run with it. You know what I mean? There's a big difference between that and someone who just decided they wanted to do something one day last week and then just start doing stuff.
It took time for y'all.
Yeah, it took time and it took the actual people to want to believe in it. And I think that's what it ultimately comes down to. People make things move.
That's right.
Communities make things move. It's not just one or two people who think something is a dope idea. Exactly. If you think me and him think it's a dope idea and we don't take it nowhere else, then obviously it wasn't that dope after all.
Mm-hmm.
But if everyone who sees it, like, not only do I think it's a dope idea, I'm going to invest, I'm going to buy a shirt. I believe what y'all gonna do the right thing with that money that I'm investing in. If you buy a hat, if you buy a scented candle, if you support us in any way, shape, or form, that's because you genuinely believe that it's going to be something and it's going to be something important that will not just be for us, but it'll be for you, it'll be for your children, it'll be for your cousin.
Right.
And we could possibly help save a life one day with it. That's what I think people invest in, and that's what's more important than, oh, I want to have my little clout and go to Atlanta and go do it there. You know what I mean?
That just pissed me off. I'm like, I look at all these cities, like New York and L.A., like I actually been to L.A.,
yeah.
Baltimore. Baltimore reminded me of the crib, honestly. That's when I went up to Baltimore, like, I'm like...
like Miami.
It's like Miami. Like, you know, we have more, you know, Hispanics and stuff down here, more like a like more of a mix up. I'm like, bruh, it's like,
I'll say this much. I've traveled to a couple of cities in the past couple of years. Mm-hmm. Like, I've been to Philly, Dallas, I've been to Indiana, I've mm-hmm. been to Atlanta. I spent a week in Atlanta. And I'm not gonna lie. There's not many places like Miami.
Exactly.
Just going there, like, I remember, and I'll tell you this before we did the interview when we were at Starbucks.
Yeah.
I remember when I first stepped off the plane and we were in Philly, we going up the escalator, and me and my homie just chopping it up. And
yeah.
I remember hearing some dudes like, I like y'all boys' energy, man. Y'all from Miami, you know? I'm like, bro, we haven't said nothing to y'all. Like, yeah. What you mean? He's like, y'all energy just different, bro. I'm like, yeah. They say that, they, how you know energy different? Yeah. I wasn't mad, it was just like one of those, like, dang, mm-hmm. is it that much of a distinction between, you know, Miami and the rest of the United States where we just carry a certain energy where they love us no matter where we go? You know what I mean?
I think so. Yeah, yeah, I think so because, you know, I spoke to a lot of people from, because, you know, people gotta realize, like, Miami, I call it like the biggest, smallest city in the world because it's like, it's a big city, but compared to like the major market, like the other major markets like Chicago, LA, right. New York, and stuff, those are the huge cities. But the thing about Miami is, it got a little bit of everything. You know what I'm saying? Like, I remember even when it comes to an accent, like a lot of people say, like, oh, it's like a mix of everything. You know what I'm saying? And like growing up, I never knew I had an accent. I guess I'm so used to my environment. But once you get older and shit, and then you start noticing the difference between Miami Zoes and like New York Zoes and stuff, I'm like, yeah, it's a difference. It's a difference. Like even with the Hispanics and, you know, the black folks down here, like us, like, it's just a different vibe from different other places.
There's a flavor that comes with being,
you know, but it's just, you know, I'm just, you know, I'm proud to have, like, to see y'all, like, to want to bring that, because it's like, it get kind of mad. I'm like, so I had to sit down one day, I'm like, okay, we have people from, like, all these bigger cities, right, that want to come down.
Mm-hmm.
Us own people that's been born and raised here, they want to go up. And I understand, you know, maybe, you know, get a job, or maybe it's a better opportunity, or you want to network and stuff. I'm like, I guarantee you won't move back down here somehow, somewhere, because social media, you know, we talked about a little bit how it's kind of negative and shit. It's positive because you're in reach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so the podcast,
it's a DMOA.
Yeah, exactly. So when I started the podcast, I was like, damn, like, it's so many people down here. You know, like, literally, like,
how do you pick which one you want
to? Right. So I like, fuck it, I'm just gonna do all of them. I'm gonna DM all them boys, cause they, you know, the men and women down here, as long as they do positive stuff, like what y'all doing, like, I'm like, shit, like, I need y'all on my platform, because I feel like it's not a lot of people showing this side. They know about the reality side, like, love and hip hop Miami type shit, whatever, or what's going on in the news and stuff. They don't know that there's so much stuff going on down here. Like, recently, I didn't even know the Wynwood district, the art district, Wynwood. I didn't even know that shit. It was like the Puerto Ricans took over that shit. Like, Puerto Ricans was there until, you know, them crackers from the beach came over and took that shit over. A lot of people don't know that.
Gentrification is
real, yeah.
My G.
Yeah. Taking it from everybody.
And I like how you said that, because mm-hmm. I think, like, when you look at me, like me and Fast Five, we're legit, like, real Miami.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Like, we went to the inner city schools in Miami. Mm-hmm. We went to, you know, we know where to go, where not to go, where to eat, where not mm-hmm. to eat. You know what I'm saying? And then the fact that we're doing this advocacy work in South Florida, and mm-hmm. we're not trying to do it in Houston or New York. We're doing it right here in our own backyard. Mm-hmm. We're trying to talk to schools that we went to, talk right. to teachers who taught us. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's making it like so much better, because we're not, because we're doing it like, I guess, the non-sellout way, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Because
you're not leaving. It's like this. It's like college is different. College, you could leave and come back, or you could leave and stay there. But there's people that's like somehow, some way, you know, helping out the communities down here. Like I told myself, one of my goals is I want to be a billionaire one day. But I always promise myself, even when I become a billionaire, I don't want to get so big headed where I forget where I come from. Cause people gonna know. They're like, nigga, where you from? Miami, huh? I'm like, yeah, I'm from Miami. Like I'm from Florida. Like, you know, like. But it's just like, I get what you mean, because it's people that I've seen it. You know, I heard stories about it. Like, people, they blow up, they forget where they come from, they claim another city or whatever, and they just don't give back. Like, I had a Pitbull photographer on the show, and, like, Pitbull was telling him how, like, so many people say he sold out. But my mom, I'm like, Pitbull did so much for rap. Like he proved that he could rap, and he was like, fuck it, I wanna move on. But he still look out for the inner city. He still like open up these charter schools, do these different like programs and stuff like that. Like why, like how that's like, to me, a difference of selling out is you sold out. Like you literally sold out. Like you ain't even looking back.
Yeah.
This man ain't sold out. He grew, but he taking advantage of like, all right, I ain't had these resources 10 years ago. Now I do to help out my community.
Yeah, I think one thing about Miami, I don't know if y'all agree with this or not, but we kind of have this exclusive nature. Like, you either with us or you're not with us. So if you just try to show up and pull up and take advantage of what we got to offer, we'll X you out of that equation real quick.
Right.
So I think a lot of the people who come down here, they find it, because I hear a lot of complaints from people who come down from other cities, like, oh, you guys don't show no love to outsiders. I'm like, do y'all show love to the people who live here?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Or are y'all trying to take advantage of what we have, or what we haven't established yet, just so you can build your own little, you know, base so you can take off on your own?
Mm-hmm.
So I think with the whole thing with Pitbull, he ain't got nothing to prove. We don't have nothing to prove. We know we represent Miami.
Mm-hmm.
We know we doing it for the city, and we know that's what we come here for. Mm-hmm. So when you question us about it, who are you?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, show your credentials. Show what you really about. If you really care about the city, you gonna question us. You know what I'm saying? It's the same thing with you. Somebody question you about all the podcasts and work you doing. We see you working all the time. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And nobody should be able to question you about what you do.
Yeah, and I always make sure that I always bring people on here that's from the crib.
Yeah.
To showcase, like, I'm not gonna lie, it be some people, like, you know, I want you to finish your term of selling out. But like I said, there's some people I reach out to that, like, I'm like, you know, come on, bro, like, we from the, like, the same neighborhood and stuff. I may not know you like that, but I know you. You know what I'm saying? I feel like some, like, I'm talking about artists that's up and coming that you rap better than. They may have a little bit of a following, but you rap better than them.
I agree.
And they get too Hollywood. They be too Hollywood. I'm like, bro, like, you not there yet. So why so hard for me to reach out to you?
They don't understand. The city is what holds you up at the end of the day. Like, the city is what got you to a certain point. Your whole flavor, your whole style, the way you talk, the way you dress, your dreams, the goals, like, that's all shit that you learn from the city that you live in. So, like, for you to hate on your own city or not show your own city love is kind of wild to me.
Yeah.
You know, like, you don't got to be the most popular dude in the city, but show your city love. You know what I'm saying? Sorry about that. That's what threw me off completely. Belgium. Damn, but become a thug to reach out to Belgium. My fault, y'all.
Actually, I looked at my analytics. I do get, like some listeners from Belgium, so shout out to Belgium.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. Maybe they're calling in all trying to talk.
But what's your turn of like selling up? I'm sorry, cause y'all boys got me so hot and stuff, and I've been trying to be more open up about it.
Tell the people, man. I'm you mind if I grab some water?
Yeah, it's fine.
You said, what's the term about selling
out? Like, your turn of selling out, like.
I think pretty much what we talked about, pretty much not showing, not, I think not showing love to where you came from.
Mm-hmm.
Not, I mean, I wouldn't say not representing, because I don't be, you know, 3 or 5 times, like, yeah. I'm on that kind of person.
Yeah.
But I've always been a person who was like, yeah, I'm from Miami, I know where I came from, I know where I went, you know, and everything like that, you know what I mean? So,
mm-hmm.
I think selling out is someone who just legit forget where they come from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Man, because it gets me kind of mad, like, I be on social media, or I even see people on the streets and stuff, and I be like, come on now.
Yeah.
Like, it shouldn't be hard for me. That's why sometimes I feel like I don't blame people that move from, like, here to, like, Atlanta or whatever, because truth be told, you know, I don't care what no one say about New York, them boys are friendly, in my opinion. They're more friendly than us.
When I went to New York, it was cool as hell.
Like,
same thing in Houston.
Yeah, like, them
cool as hell.
But I'm talking about, like, the fastest cities. I'm like, yeah. Them boys
Houston's
are like
pretty fast though.
Yeah.
It stopped recording, by the way.
Oh, it did. Yeah, that's cool.
Houston's pretty fast as far as, it's not fast. Mm-hmm. It's growing, because I went there in February, and I went there like a week.
Mm-hmm.
And Houston's tight, bro. Houston's tight, but it's not Miami.
Yeah.
And that's what I told him. And I'm like, bro, Houston, man. I've been to Houston. I've been to New York. I've been to Thailand. I've been to DC. Nothing's like Miami, bro. No place is like Miami.
Nothing.
And I
bro.
Feel like us, as whatever you want to say, organizers, activists,
mm-hmm.
artists, I feel like now we're understanding, like, yo, like, we have to, like, mm-hmm. collab.
So who reached out to y'all so far, like?
It's not really reaching out, because I feel like with him and me, we have a different platform, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said before, because his platform, he knows a lot of artists,
mm-hmm.
and rappers and poets. And on my end, I know a lot of activists. I know a lot of people who's trying to get into politics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those in law school, lawyers, so on and so forth, doctors, everything like that. So our platform is different. But I sent a shirt to DYFL because me and him was really cool at Miami-Dade.
Mm-hmm.
I sent a shirt to him. I sent a shirt to...
He owed me an interview. Every time someone names somebody, yeah, I'm like, y'all boys, he owed me an interview because he's really dope.
Yeah, he is. You know? On DYFL, we gave him a shirt. We're trying to reach out to... Community Goods reached out to us a few times.
Okay, I interviewed what's his name? The artist?
CJ?
Yeah, CJ had him on the show too.
Yeah, him. We're trying to reach out to certain folks as well,
mm-hmm.
because we're Roots. We reached out to Roots.
Roots.
And the whole Roots, thing that they have going on, which is great. And then at the same time, we're trying to reach out to folks as well. You know, hey, this is what the Become a Threat movement is about. And mm-hmm. every time we explain it to them, they're on board. Like, hell yeah, man. I'm with it. You know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. we're trying to organize events now with Become a Threat. And then at the same time, he's trying to brand himself as an artist. I'm trying to brand myself as a speaker,
mm-hmm.
as an organizer. You know what I'm saying? So the fact that we have two different platforms is kind of like fusing it. It's like one beautiful way. And me and him kind of like noticed that when we had like a photo shoot,
mm-hmm.
we had white and black shirts,
mm-hmm.
and we called it like the yin and yang kind of theory. Okay. And it was kind of cool because when Bree was recording, she was basically saying how I speak kind of factual,
mm-hmm.
but he speaks more philosophical. But we're saying the exact same thing.
Same thing, yeah.
Yeah, but he speaks it from a philosophical way where I can't say it.
That's why.
Like it sounds better when he says it, you feel me?
That's why I said, when we was at Starbucks, I'm like, I might as well have a podcast or something.
It's coming.
You know, that's like.
It's coming.
That's like, you know.
it's coming.
Y'all talk about different stuff, how people come in and stuff. And,
yeah.
You know, I come in.
Speaking of which, it is for
This is
y'all don't listen. Y'all
off record. This is off record. This, okay. Yeah, this is We got you.
All right.
We got you. Perfect.
Y'all done fucked up, man.
Yeah. This is definitely off record. Up. Yeah, for real. This is definitely off the record.
You got it.
Through the alley. Don't put this on the thing, bro. Yeah. This is off record. All right.
Yeah. Yeah, so
yeah, we got you.
So like, so what's the like the plan, like where y'all see yourself like 5 to 10 years from now with becoming Thrip?
You wanna go first with that question?
Nah, mine's dark. Go ahead, you go first.
Yeah, mine's pretty dark too, that's what I'm saying.
Rock, paper, scissors, that shit?
I'll be honest, bro. In 5 or 10 years, I see myself as a community leader,
mm-hmm.
who is on the national stage now. I'm speaking on everything from mental health,
mm-hmm.
to Black dysphoria, to community organizing, to the recreation,
mm-hmm.
of the Black family unit. I've written a few books by then. I want to have my JD in law, and I'm probably being watched by the FBI.
Shit, hey, we probably are being watched.
Straight up. Yeah. Like, that's what I've, like, me and him saying that, like, yeah, that might probably happen.
All jokes aside. All jokes aside.
Yeah, like real talk.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if it happens, I won't be surprised, but mm-hmm. I see Becoming Thrip rising as a national organization where we mm-hmm. have members and parties in every section, and everyone is trying to join and master their part of Becoming Thrip, but then at the same time, they're trying to take me and him out of the movement and trying to, like, legit watch us.
I think, honestly, though, I think a lot of us, like, us Black folks, that's like, think about, like, Charlamagne. Like, he talks so much.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
I feel like he speaks so much truth that the FBI, like, we gotta have our listening.
Yeah, like, I think if you speak so bluntly on issues,
mm-hmm.
I think that's when you get a watch.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But that's just my 5 to 10.
If we want to get really real, I think in 5 to 10 years, I'm not here. I think in 5 to 10 years, I'm a martyr.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about how Nipsey Hussle a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was jamming Nipsey Hussle since high school. Bullets ain't got no name. Like, that's his whole thought process, his whole way of forward thinking, I was deeply into. And people like him, people like Fred Hampton, like, there's mm-hmm. only one real way for those people to go out, it seems like, you know what I mean?
Right.
And not trying to wish it, knock on wood, but it's just like,
it's real, yeah.
You know, especially if I'm going to take it to the music.
Right.
People take it to the music, that's the ones that they really trying to get rid of.
Right.
Like, Nipsey took it to the music, you know? Mm-hmm. They killed Dr. Sebi because he teaching health, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I fuck with Rick Ross because he teaches wealth. Like,
right.
They don't want that. They don't want that. And if Becoming Thrip can become a movement on not just a social front, but just on a musical front, like
mm-hmm.
like taking over the music industry, that's a problem. That's a problem.
That's dope.
And I feel that because I feel like me and him, like,
yeah, you ain't going nowhere because 5 to 10 years from now, I already see it, bro. You ain't going. None of y'all ain't going nowhere.
Nah, I feel
just know if I go somewhere, y'all know I ain't asked to go.
You may go somewhere, like, you be low key forever.
I just think that people in this fight, like, have to be protected,
right,
by the people who mm-hmm. believe in the message. Like, me and him give messages all the time. Y'all have to be protected. And it's not like death, it's just more so like, you know, protect our message, protect our movement, protect our well-being, all that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, cause it's gonna be some people that may come up to you one day and be like, hey, I'll give y'all $1 million or whatever, stop talking about this. And it goes back to when you were talking about the selling out, like being a sellout. And that is why I feel like we all want the money and the fame. But I mean, at the same time, what is it worth if we don't, at the same time, accomplish what we want to accomplish? Just see, like, the achievements that we achieve, like, just seeing the ultimate goal that we want. The money and shit, that's good. Like, that's like the icing on the cake. But, like, just to see the movements that we start and it's become so successful and people following it, that should be like the main goal. But you could tell like the real who's not real. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's right, man.
Like for my podcast, I want my podcast to be nationally. Like I want to be on satellite, mm-hmm. but also like have like a show one day, just to bring in like different people, like politicians, athletes, entertainers, artists,
that's
like
right.
like different entrepreneurs, like everybody, just people just come in and speak they piece on anything, cause like I just feel like especially now 2019 and beyond,
right.
why try to hide the truth. Just let it be free, man. Like, you got people out here, you know, I ain't even gonna say that because I ain't gonna go there. But yeah, man.
Nah, go ahead, bro. Go ahead.
Nah, man. It's just, nah, I ain't gonna do that.
Nah, bro. I ain't gonna say that's something to do all this. I just finished telling you about my 5-year, 10-year plan, and you gonna sit here and.
Nah, cause,
that.
Like, Sports Illustrated, they were talking about some Caitlyn Jenner supposed to come out with, like, a new, like, cover or whatever.
Yeah,
I'm like, bro, like, I don't. That's not, no, like, that's too much. And then, like, Arthur, you know, they come out with an episode.
Rapper
and awesome. Like, I ain't gonna lie. Like,
we
knew about it as we got 13, 14, 15 years old. But I'm like.
I ain't gonna lie, homie. I'm starting to think it's an agenda, bro.
Yeah, like, these kids don't need to, like, the babies don't need to know that, bro, that right now. I feel like, you know.
Like, we didn't really, we knew guys in middle school, high school, I mean,
that was,
middle school and elementary was, you know, kind of feminine.
Yeah.
But we ain't really stressing.
Yeah, because then you.
We just play ball and hit it.
Yeah, and then when you grow older, some
you're
of
like,
them.
Oh, so bro, let's get it.
Or even the ones that was feminine, you'd be like, this nigga married, he's just feminine. There's some people out here that are just feminine.
He's
like,
feminine,
it's some females that I remember I dated, I love my wife.
Mm-hmm.
But it was some females mm-hmm. I dated before I met my wife that I thought it was gay, but they just, that's how they are.
That's how they are. Because
they grew up around a lot of men.
Mm-hmm.
But they far from like being gay. So, I mean, it's just. I just feel like,
yeah,
stuff like that. Should.
They got a book about that. I believe it's called The Homosexual Manifesto, and I think it's geared towards black men. And it
yeah.
talks about the destruction of the black male
population control.
Yeah.
They don't want us to reproduce. I know about that, man. I'm gonna read a book though.
Thing is this: I could care less about what your orientation is.
Me either. I don't.
And
yeah.
I think my ultimate question is, why do I need to know your orientation?
Right.
Like, why do I need to know who you sleep with?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Why do I need to know what you like in the bedroom? Why is that such an important topic in 2019?
Right.
Like, why do I need to know what that man over there, who I probably will never have another conversation with again,
right.
what he likes to do
right.
when no one's looking?
But
you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I do want to, because, you know, we know about the, of course, the straight, the gay, the bi. But I do want to know, I do want to have, like, a transsexual on the show one day, just to ask them.
The
trying to understand, because you know, the LGBTQ, you know, that organization is very hostile, even to their own. So it's just like,
no, that's real.
I'm not the type of person that's ignorant. So I'm like, I want to know, like,
you want to learn, get educated.
Right? What made you want to do that?
Yeah.
You know, because I spoke to gay and lesbians before. They told them, like, you know, I was in high school and stuff, college, whatever. Like, I tried to be straight. It didn't work, you know. But transsexual, that's just something, you know,
yeah.
whole different thing. But I'm not scared to have them. I just, because I want to know, you know what
yeah,
I'm saying?
Of course.
But yeah, so like, y'all have any shout outs or anything before we close it up?
Man, I'm being honest, man. Just shout out to everyone who stuck with us through the movement, bro. I mean, last year, 2018, we took a hiatus.
Mm-hmm.
I was abroad. I was in a real big state of depression.
We was broke.
Yeah.
We was broke. Don't let him fool
yeah.
you. We was broke.
Yeah.
We got the money up, nigga. Now we won't roll. Fuck out of here, man.
All right, pop. Nah. But on the real though, man, just shout out to, you know, just, I guess, Miami, people who we know, Fiend, Bree, Kelvin, that been helping us out.
Kelvin the Guru.
Kelv. Shit, everybody that just with us, though.
Oh, don't forget about some of the most wanted, you know. Shout out to Tron, we gotta do something
with
him.
Shout out to
Trail.
Trail.
Wi-Fi wifey.
Photos. Danielle.
Wi-Fi wifey. Why sound so familiar? Wi-Fi wifey.
Oh, she's dope.
She
man.
She was like model for us.
Okay.
So it's a lot of models for us. Shout out to those who bought a shirt.
How much does shirt cost?
$30.
Okay.
Including the shipping that we have. Correct.
Yeah. So there's no shipping.
Just okay. And we will have some new merch. We will have a. Should we tell them that we gonna have a like a.
We have the idea, so let's just post it.
This is some things that we haven't shared with y'all yet. That
we got some things that we wanna do. That's pretty much about it. But what we wanna talk about is gonna be off the record.
Oh yeah, of course. So that's why I'm trying to end it right now.
Yeah, you know?
My bad. Go ahead. Shout out to the people, man. Not a reason why we even are allowed to do something like this. And thank you. And We endorse y'all, so if y'all can't protect us at all costs, thank you very much.
Yeah, please protect us at all costs.
Much love.
And protect me with all these damn interviews.
For real.
You out here giving these platforms to crazy niggas like us.
Because you create a platform for crazy dudes like us trying to do this stuff.
The stories I heard on this platform, but anyway. Listen, man. This has been your boy DJ Anonymous with Sports Biz Music, the podcast, episode 85. Don't forget, everybody. I do have a website up now. It's called sportsbizmusic.com. So check that out. Listen to all the episodes. And there's been Anonymous with Become a Threat. What else?
May 27th, Become a Threat. Fast Wagon Bastard. We will be in the building. DJ Anonymous will be in the building.
Right.
Mo Better Mondays at Know Me Bar. We are doing poetry. I am headlining. Y'all make sure y'all come out, show some love, enjoy some good vibes. We are celebrating being black.
Hell yeah.
Hey, on your own handle.
Fat Swaggy Bastard is the IG. Fat Swaggy is the Twitter. You know what I'm saying? Keep it real simple.
IG Twitter, mine is Ja Black, JAH Black, BLVK. Both IG and Twitter.
That's what's up, man. That's it. On that note, we out.
Peace.
Appreciate it.